This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Someone tweeted that at me last night. They did, or this morning when Canada won the bid. They did it, Naylor.
They did it, Naylor.
This comes up all the time. People still remind me of that awful soundbite.
They did it, Naylor.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I like seeing the best players in the world in golf be tested, but this is a little much, isn't it?
Rory I like it. I like it one time a year at the U.S. Open.
I get that, but finish the tournament one over par. Rory McIlroy shot 80 today.
That's not the course,
though. I thought Duffy sucked this morning until I turned on the TV and watched this. It's not fun.
McIlroy was 10 over through 11. He was tied with Garrett Rank.
Dude, there was guys that were 9 over after 9. I'm like, I don't want to watch that.
Garrett Rank was tied with McIlroy.
That's right.
See, that's where the angle we're going with.
That's right.
Garrett's a friend of the show, and we love him, and we hope that he makes the cut.
Well, he's not making the cut. Tested, but this is gone too far.
Well,
Rory McIlroy 80? No way, dude.
But that's not on Shinnecock. That's on Rory. Like, there's no excuse for a guy of his caliber shooting 80 anywhere in the world.
So Tiger Woods 150 yards from the hole on one makes a triple? That's just
he airmailed it. And then he chunked a chip and then chunked a putt. That's not on the course, man. That's Tiger just chopping it up on one. I mean, I enjoy the
trust
US
me
Open.
When I say this, for only two guys to be under par or whatever it is,
it's crazy.
It's too hard.
Listen, I'm not disputing the difficulty of the course. This is what we get every year at the Open, though. You know that. Like, the US Open, if you're one under, you're probably
winning
the tournament.
Yeah, but find a balance. Last year it was crazy when Koepka won. I think he was 16 under par. I don't want to see that. I want to see around even par, grind for pars, make some birdies, but this is just too much.
Well, the wind coming off the ocean is the problem.
Really?
Like, it's right off the ocean, and it's like here in Toronto. It's been so windy today.
I golfed this morning. It was a gong show.
Yeah, and listen, I don't want it to get hokey, and it can get old pretty quickly when guys hit what should be good shots and they get penalized for it because of the course. But I do think the U.S. Open, it's the only tournament all year where you go into it and you expect these guys to look mortal. You expect them to look human, I kind of like that. It's unique. It's different.
Yeah, but Rory McIlroy 80 is not human. Guy to shoot 80, maybe he had a bad day, but that's just like, come on.
But it's partially
Phil Mickelson was 7 over par after 9. Like,
but he was pulling four foot putts.
Oh, so they just all had bad days.
At some point, you can't just blame the course and the conditions. I mean, Dustin Johnson's at 2 under. So what? Is he having a great day? Like, you know, Jason Duffner's at 2 under.
You know what? Get some audio of these guys after their rounds. Like, what does Rory have to say? What does Phil have to say? Because I want to hear what they have to say.
But will they all criticize the course?
That's what I want to know. Are they going to say, we had bad days, or is this just a ridiculous setup? And it's not fair.
They will take runs at the course. This is not Augusta National where they're terrified of saying anything. The USGA is a whipping boy every year. They will take runs at the course.
Time they had this golf tournament at this course, they got destroyed because they went too far, and it was literally like a term. They went Shinnecock.
They did. Right. They went way too far back in 2004. They didn't water the course properly.
Phil even talked about it in his presser. They were judging the greens. If somebody made a triple or higher, they watered it. And if they didn't, they just left it. It was insane.
So they were judging it on how people were playing it.
Yeah. Jamie, this green, like us three, we'd be making 24s on it, a par 3. I'd be a 30.
I'd be a 45. Yeah. I will say this. That.
What'd you
I was
make?
I pretty good at mini 45. Golf growing up. Soft hands.
Give you like.
I've been told, because I've golfed only like 10 times, maybe a little bit more in my life, but like, got a good short game. Soft hands around
really?
The green.
Yeah. Based on the mini putt?
On the mini putt.
Orange ball in a 1940s putter.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, I can drink in a cart like nobody else.
Well, that's what I was joking about earlier. Like, Rory McIlroy was playing like a plug. Like, might as well get a cart, six pack of beers, Start taking foot wedges and play like every other.
Dude, imagine Tiger Woods. First hole of the tournament, he goes out and makes a seven. There's not a lot of birdies out there. I would have grabbed my ball in my pocket and walked back to my car and said...
No, back to the yacht.
Back to the yacht.
Back to the yacht, and the yacht sails away.
I would have told the guy running the yacht, fire up the engine, I am out of here.
He picks up the ball after a seven, pulls his phone out, just texts, fire the engine up.
Get that thing going.
Walk right out.
We are southbound towards Florida.
You know what I'm surprised you didn't do? Grab the glute.
I was waiting for the glutes. Like, they started shooting at some point. He did birdie. I think he birdied three or four, and now he's three over on the tournament. So he's in contention, as crazy as that sounds, because of how hard this course is playing.
He's not in contention. He's dying to try to get back to level.
He's going to make the cut.
He's around. Yes, the cut line's going to be like plus five or something. I don't even know what it's going to be.
Come on, Garrett Rank.
Well, Garrett Rank was 13 over par today. Do you want to throw a guess out what you think old Scott Gregory shot today?
I know what he shot. He shot 92.
A 92. He was plus 22 on
that. Isn't he a pro as well?
Yes. He does not have an A beside his name. He is a legitimate pro. Scott Gregory. This guy is sponsored.
Let's pick the ball up.
He got to grab a glute, no?
92?
As a pro?
You shoot in the 90s as a pro? That is... You never live that down. Never.
That's tough to do, man.
That's tin cup.
That's me. Like, I shoot in the 90s.
Okay, but if this course is that hard, the average plug is shooting a buck 10, correct?
Oh, way more than that.
When I was playing good way golf, more. I played an amateur tournament at the National Golf Club of Canada in Woodbridge, which is the best course in Canada. And I was so bad, and I shot 89, and it felt like 115. For this guy to go out and shoot 92?
He must have been ready.
Dude, pull up
to
his scorecard so we can go through it. Can all you right. please?
Yeah, let me find
did
it.
Did he hit like a 10? Like on a hole? What's the highest number he got on
it's
a hole?
It's almost like I don't want to find a birdie on his scorecard because that'll be worse.
Well, that was something I heard. I guess it was Fox. I think Fox has the rights. So it must have been Buck who was saying this. Joe Buck was saying earlier this morning that there wasn't one player on the course or one player that had been out there that didn't have a bogey on his card. And this was not that really? Deep into the tournament. So, like, everybody is getting racking up bogeys here.
But that's why, you know, O's right. I want to hear what they have to say afterwards.
Yeah, I want to hear. Get some audio.
But I think, but Tiger's going to talk about it. And well, Tiger's pretty candid. Like he'll
Tiger's
say
not even done the front nine right now.
All I'm saying is, you know, he's going to have sound after. And if he ends up putting an ugly number up, if it goes south for him, although I want him to make the cut, because I think he's going to end up in top 10. Didn't I call that yesterday in our Jerry's percentage? But I would like to hear what he has to say, because a guy with that much confidence will shoot from the hip. He'll say the course is too hard. The course is this. Like Garrett Rank is just going to say unbelievable experience. He's not going to take a shot. But the veterans, do you think Rory will take a shot at the course?
What are some other brutal numbers? There's got to be other. Just Jason Day was 10 over at one time.
Well, I have a breakdown of Scott Gregory's card here. I don't have the card. Find the card and send it to me.
Okay.
He had two triple bogeys, three double bogeys, 10 bogeys and only three pars, and he was the first player to shoot 90 or above since Felix Casas. I don't even know who
since
that is.
Gene Sarazen did it at 83 years old.
Who shot 92 during the second round of the U.S. Open at Bethpage. So we're talking 16 years since historic. Someone went over 90.
This is a historic number.
Dude, for a pro to shoot 92?
Where do you think he is right now? In his trailer?
Well, there's no point in going to the range afterwards. What's the point? You know, like, you're not going to go work on your short game.
You think he's going to pull a Kyle Lowry and be right out in front of everyone making chips?
It's such a hero move, but I don't even see if there's a point. I really don't think there's a point. Like, you have 0% chance of making the cut. You're done. You're just out there to play tomorrow. Go have fun. You know, what's the point of working on your game?
I would not lose respect for the guy, Brian, if he withdrew. Like, just.
Really?
I tossed up a 92. What do you want me to do? Gain experience by going to chop it around some more?
But I think if he's sponsored, you got to go through with it or you're not going to get paid, right?
I think out of respect for the U.S. Open, if this was some loser tournament, you might just say, forget it. Start the bird up. I'm out of here. But it's the U.S. Open. I think out of respect for the tournament, you got to tee it up. But he actually parred the first hole. He parred one.
So it went south for 17
It had to
holes.
Get ugly after one.
It did. Well, he bogeyed two. But still, you're sitting on the third tee.
One over on par. Three.
Feeling it.
You're all right.
Conditions are ugly, but you're okay. You're liking your chances.
But where are you after, like, six?
So he was a triple on three, a double on four, a double on five, bogey six, bogey seven, bogey eight, bogey nine, bogey 10. Finally parred the 11th hole. And he tripled 14. So Scott Gregory, who shot 92 at the first round of the U.S. Open today, that's his scorecard. That's how ugly it is. And that's what we can pretty much bank on for the rest of the weekend. Like, the scores are not going to get any better.
Somebody sent in the U.S. Open playership, and it's Forrest running away, turning left out of the driveway.
You have to.
We got to pump out the Tom Kite shot at the U.S. Open.
Tough to get that audio, though. It's really bad audio on YouTube.
Doesn't matter. It's one of our favorite shots.
It is. That is. It was, but it's so much better to watch,
into
though.
Somebody's knee, and Tom Kite was beside himself.
It's so much better to watch, though. Like, if you pull it up on your phone or something.
He's
like,
just mortified.
His face, he just, this little head bob, he's like, ow.
He basically looked like the FBI agent who shot some guy when his gun fell out of his holster.
That guy's going to the clink, I think, or did he
I saw a mugshot.
He's in trouble.
He's definitely being charged.
Yeah.
Like, if your firearm goes off at a bar.
After a backflip.
You have to be responsible for that. This FBI agent in Denver. Who thought he was on Soul Train.
We have to track that guy to see what, you know, his career trajectory heads. Like, I mean, he probably, I don't think he'll get jail time. It's an accidental.
It's an accident, but it's a pretty serious accident, man. Like, it's.
Yeah, it's concealed.
It's your gun.
It's your gun.
Like, and obviously you didn't have the lock on the gun.
No.
Because if it goes off just based on it hitting the ground or you picking it up, the safety measures were not taken into consideration.
I just punched into Google FBI, and the next word was dancing. The next word was gun.
Like, he is synonymous with the FBI. Can you imagine that guy? The boys that are just chirping him at the office every single day. He shows up at the office. The amount of chirps and just what his social media profiles would look like if he's on Facebook or Instagram.
Man.
He'd just be getting crushed. Speaking of social media, have you noticed that now everyone is looking out for burner accounts?
I know.
Like, that's really the new thing.
I saw Travis Yost was on something in Ottawa.
Yeah, Travis Yost posted something on his Twitter account that he's trying to connect the dots about some anonymous Twitter account who, just based on the tweets that this account has sent out and who they follow, that maybe it's someone that's in tune with the Ottawa Senators organization. But you can't corroborate that.
No.
He can't name anybody. He doesn't have a name for it.
Well, how did the guy in Philly do it? He started somewhere.
Started somewhere. Someone tipped them off. But you're right. I mean, it's there's got to be a tip-off, and then you start to look into it, and maybe you start to figure it out. If you're the Ottawa Senators, you're praying that this isn't true, that it isn't a scout or a Pierre Dorion or an assistant coach or something. But this is the world we live in now because of the Colangelo story, because of this Hoffman-Carlson story. Everybody is a private investigator online, and they're finding anonymous accounts and saying, I got a feeling. That sounds like a burner account to me.
Well, if this is all going on, Brian, and you host a radio show, we're all on TV, if you go back and there's one person that can, if you don't block the person and they continuously have negative comments, you got to be thinking,
yeah,
who the hell is that person?
With an egg
Avi and.
Well, that's what has to change, and I think it's just a matter of time. You can't. Twitter should not allow for anonymous accounts.
I agree.
Well,
I should be able to own it, where you work.
Absolutely. But no, your face
you
and your
put
name.
A phone number to it, like you because you would have to buy multiple burner phones or whatever. It should have a phone number attached to it because to get a phone. Don't you need your
ID? Well, not publicly, though. I'm not, like, because
I understand
that only Twitter would have access to, you're saying?
No, but what I'm saying, yeah, but you should need an ID or something
face,
to get
name,
a Twitter
employer.
Account.
Face, name, employer, exactly. Maybe you're right in terms of pumping it into Twitter. You got to give your phone number in order to have an account. Same thing with Instagram.
Some form of ID that identifies you that is you.
Yes. So anonymity should not be allowed online. It shouldn't be. No. Because this is all you get. You get people that are gutless.
Yeah.
That's what you get. You get scumbag, gutless
but
people.
That's where
for all
trending.
The people that send out douchebag tweets, you should be fired. Like your boss should be able to see it and say, this is your employer right here.
Right. But anyone that claims they would have the same content and the same type of courage if their name was actually attached to
garbage.
It is
no.
lying.
No way. No
You're
way.
You're absolutely
right.
lying.
You're right. Because, but that's maybe where social media is trending, where the accountability will be there at some point. I think I've told you guys this off air. Like, I had a buddy who worked at Twitter right from the get-go, and he said, first generation social media, I'm out. He said, there's going to be lawsuits coming. There's going to be things coming where people's lives are ruined because of this. And he's not wrong. I mean, some people are doing it by themselves. Roseanne Barr, for example, like people who have a verified account and are, you know, spouting off and getting themselves in trouble. There's others with the egg, what is that called?
Avi,
that are just hiding behind anything and have multiple accounts, like Colangelo or his wife or whoever. That's the type of nonsense. I don't know if Twitter wants to do that, though. You know why? It's because they're going to lose, like, they believe they've got, for example, 300 million users. If it's real people, maybe that drops to 100 million.
Well, maybe, but that's on I think it's on the government to get involved. You have to have some sort of regulatory body because this isn't a healthy thing for society.
No, it isn't.
It's just not. It's not healthy to have people that can hide behind anonymity and just try to peck away and ruin people.
Yeah.
It's just not. And I don't like it. I've never liked it. And we've been on the opposite side of it. We've been on the wrong side of these anonymous Twitter accounts. We get stuff sent our way that is
daily
uncalled for.
Well,
vicious,
but that's why
it happens. I mean,
block and mute.
You block and you mute, and you move on. It's not the end of the world, but not everyone has that reaction.
Right.
Like, I remember when I first got on Twitter, and when I was younger, I would respond with people. I would be affected by that kind of stuff. I'm not anymore because I just don't care. I've been doing it for so long.
Right.
You know, someone writes me, block, moving on, whatever.
Right.
But I remember when I first started on Twitter, and I was first getting on the radio, and I was trying to make a name for myself.
Boy, and you're reading all these mentions.
Absolutely. People get to you, and they're like, you suck. Your show sucks. You shouldn't be on the air. Okay, that's your opinion.
Right.
And it's not even that. That's your opinion. That's one thing. But, like, I've had people be like, I hope you die and stuff like that. Yeah, people have written that to me. But it's always the anonymous account where it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
Who are you? Exactly. Yeah. Who are you?
Who you?
Who you?
Exactly. Yeah, but
you two utes.
I think you.
That's what has to change.
Though, but Brian, you're to a point where you're 35 years old. You know, wife and a kid, like, you don't care about this stuff. There are people that are literally consumed with this. Consumed with mentions. Consumed with Googling their name or their whatever. Like, and you go through phases of it. You're right. I think we're all to a point where you just move on. Like, if I like to interact with people, but I don't have enough time in the day to do it. And, you know, if somebody shoots me a note or asks a question, I try and get back to them. But if I don't...
Do you respond to people who are anonymous? If it's Jack1234 with an egg Abby, why would you write that person back?
I block anyone with a negative comment. I block. Just
I get
simple.
That. I've moved
but that's
on from that.
But a different conversation.
I'm just saying,
I'm talking about... Like, even if someone just... It's a dummy account, but they're nice to you.
No.
But what's... I don't understand why I would have human interaction with you if you were... No. Acting as if you're a bot.
I'm looking.
You're a robot online.
You're right. I'm looking at my direct messages with people. They all have a name on them, you know, Andy and James and whatever, like Al. There's people there.
And pictures of them.
Pictures
in their avatars,
like you can tell they're actually like that. The one actor out in L.A., Aaron Douglas. Like, you know, he sends a note. He listens. Like you want to interact with people, right?
But I
like,
don't.
I do.
I don't need new friends. Very simple.
Well. You're right, but everyone has their. This is it's your right because it's
your.
Yeah,
it's
account.
Your whole deal, Jay. You want to talk to people? Go ahead. I don't feel the need to talk to people on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't need it.
But I do on Twitter. My Instagram account is private because I have pictures of my children on there.
But people can still send you direct messages. You don't have to receive them.
I don't allow them because they don't follow me. I think I have a setting on there that they don't can't get through. It's just Twitter, I think, is a good form of information, but I think it has to evolve, especially with the type of garbage that is coming on. And I keep saying it, and it's a broken record. This is the world we live in. It's 2018, and this is the type of nonsense. 10 years ago, this wasn't like that.
Right, but it's on the world we live in to evolve and change and realize what is right and what is wrong. And this is a simple
fix.
Very simple. That doesn't mean that even... Listen, there are people that put their name and their face on it, and they're still jackasses, and they do and say crazy things. But I have more respect for that than I do someone who...
With an egg avi.
Has an egg avi and a fake name, and you have no idea who it is or where they're coming from or what they are.
Yep.
Chris Pronger is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get into the NHL offseason with Chris. We'll ask him. I mean, he's pretty high up with the Panthers. Did the Panthers... ownership send out any messages like, hey, if you have Twitter accounts or anything like that going on, like smarten up? Like, was there anything sent out throughout the organization that this is the world we live in now and make sure that we're living by these new rules? And Flag Guy is alive and well throughout the city, but I saw one in particular that I have a lot of time and respect for. I'll tell you about that next. So the World Cup is off and running now. Russia lays a beating on Saudi Arabia earlier this morning, 5-0. So the hosts are feeling pretty good early.
Yeah, the hosts of some shows are feeling pretty good because they don't have to come here.
Well, Leafs lunch is off the air, I think, pretty much for the whole month. Like, they might be on at some point, but Scotty Mac was here. There's only one game today. Tomorrow, I believe Scotty Mac is off. Because
Scotty Mac's done for a week and a half.
Well, he's got a bad back. I would trade my shift for him. I know the pain he's in right now. I'm fine with it.
Well, tomorrow's a big game. Spain against Portugal. And Spain's got a new coach. They fired their coach 2 days before the tournament.
That is insane, isn't it?
Like, crazy
2 days
story.
Before the tournament, you fire the guy?
Well, that sounds like
because he took another job?
It is, Lou. It's all based on pride. It's all, we're bigger and better than you. We're the national team. How dare you do this without telling us? You're fired.
Apparently, Lou is up to just interviewing people. What do?
Yeah, go away.
This is what I do. You're not doing that anymore. Goodbye. That's his move.
Well, you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Lou's not changing anything. He's not going to find new tricks.
No.
The Lou Lamoriello way has been that way for 35 years. It will continue with the Islanders. But I saw a Croatian flag this morning, which I was a bit surprised by. And I tweeted that out, and a bunch of people are like, oh, I've seen those all over the city. And I saw a Spanish flag on the way in, a Portuguese flag on the way in. And then just as I was pulling off the 401 here, I saw an Argos flag.
Nice.
And I respect that because the CFL season begins tonight and the Argos start tomorrow and they are the reigning Grey Cup champs. And you know that's a diehard Argos fan who's like, I'm getting my time here, man.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know that my team is about to start playing. And I like that.
He has 3 cases of Molson Canadian in his car and 3 packs of Belmont regulars. And he's ready for Argos football.
And he smokes with the windows up, for
sure.
He's
so jacked up.
I saw last week, I saw windows up cigar guy with the wife in the car. That is a tough sledding trip.
That should be illegal. Like, if we're just being honest. Like, I'm all for freedom and liberty, but that should not be allowed.
But if the wife
windows up cigar with the honey in the car, and she had no... qualms.
She was fine. She probably had a little dart going herself, though. That's usually those couples smoke together.
Usually that is the case.
Yeah.
If there's one solo smoker, that can really put a bit of a bind on the relationship.
Puts a dent into it, yeah.
But shout out to anyone with the flag on the car, especially if you have an Argos flag. I respect that a lot. I mean, it's one thing to get caught up in the World Cup right now, but the Argos are playing too. And they're going for back-to-back Grey Cups, and they begin tomorrow night in Saskatchewan. You can hear that game right here on TSN Radio. Hockey Hall of Famer, friend of the show, Chris Pronger in 2 minutes. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. I found myself in a very strange position earlier this morning. I'll tell you guys about it later. But I'd be curious to get your take on it. How you guys would handle it.
Why, you ordered breakfast in instead of making your own?
No, I was out. It's a long story. We got prongs on the line.
Yeah, we
got to
get to prongs.
I don't think he really cares about it, quite frankly. the draft, a week tomorrow. Free agency, couple of weeks away. Here's Hockey Hall of Famer and Florida Panthers senior advisor to the president of hockey operations, friend of the show, Chris Pronger. What's happening, Chris?
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
We're doing pretty well, man. Good. The calm before the storm. It's pretty quiet in the NHL right now, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Well, everybody's just tracking Ovi's partying.
What did you make of that?
I love it. And by the way, I think he deserves it with the amount of trash he's taken over the last 13 years or so.
Yeah.
He's making up for lost time, and I have no problem with it. He should be basking in the glory.
I agree. I wasn't sure if you went to Ovi's levels when you won the cup, but that's the thing. I still believe the Stanley Cup has a chaperone because of guys in the 80s and the early 90s. Like, this Ovi stuff is nothing compared to what those guys could tell stories about.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that the cup went missing for days on end at certain points in time is the reason why they have the cup keeper and all the rest of that stuff. So it was in the, I think it was in the back of Guido Fleur's trunk for like 4 days.
With a dead body by accident.
Prongs, do you think teams can, it might preach patience? I know it's kind of, everybody says it's a copycat league, but if you look at Ovi and the Caps, teams that are quality teams that are looking to make changes, you just say, you know what, we just got to keep going year after year and hopefully this group can break through?
Well, I think you have to be very strategic in the moves that you make. Obviously, they lost Johansson earlier, in the summertime, mainly more cap related, but that opens up a slot for Lars Eller to take on a bigger role, and Jay Beagle gets slotted in differently, and then Kuznetsov, and it goes all the way up the line. And also, you look at the players that they have that are their stars, they've now matured that much more. They've gone through all the strife. You know, it's almost like you listen to Ovi talking about, we don't want to suck this year. I'm leaving a few expletives out. But yeah. I think they got to that point where they're like, okay, we need to lay it on the line here. I'm sick of going over the world championships. Yes, I go every year, but I'm sick of going. I want to win here. And, you know, I think you saw a determined group and, you know, led by Ovi and Holtby stepped up after being on the Pines the first couple games against Columbus. You know, the defense corps, everybody kind of stepped up their game and really provided a jolt. You know, you look at, we always talk about the top two lines normally are going to cross each other out in when you get best on best at this point in the season. It's the bottom two lines. It's the depth players. It's the Lars Ellers, the Devontae Smith-Pellys, the Jay Beagles of the world stepping up and scoring big goals or creating opportunities or playing with a physical presence or whatever it is. Providing your team that energy and enthusiasm that you need at this time of year. Guys are banged up, they're tired, they're hurt. You need other players to come into the lineup and inspire the group sometimes. And they were able to get that from a lot of different players.
You think that could possibly be a trend this summer? Everybody's saying, I got to go find me a Devontae Smith-Pelly, a guy that's bounced around or Eller that was in Montreal and just discarded. It's just, I don't know, it just seems like you watch that and it's like you look at that lineup and you almost look at it on paper and you're like, that's not really impressive to look at, but they got the job done. We got to go get ourselves some of these guys.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that easy. I think there's got to be a certain fit. I've played with guys, you've played with guys. They fit in on certain teams, and when they go to other teams, they just don't fit. It doesn't make sense. They're not slotted properly, or the slot's not there. Somebody is making more money in a certain position, and therefore they're getting that role. And it's hard. You know, Johansson would have been the third-line center. They had to trade him for cap reasons, so Eller gets it. I think he was playing left wing before that, and all, you know, different positions throughout the course of his time in Washington. It's not that simple to kind of slot guys in. We talk about, I hear you guys always talking about Vegas and kind of how they've set up their team. I mean, they had a blank slate. They were able to kind of pick and choose. And by the way, it's not like before in the early 2000s and early 90s where you're getting the 18th or 19th best player on their team. They're getting the ninth best player. Or in some cases, they're not taking that player. They're getting a prospect and a pick or two players that they like maybe even more than the player that they're passing on. So it really just comes down to availability of ice time, opportunity. Some players are able to step up. Some people have matured enough through their development process and understanding of how they need to play to be successful. I think that's one of the reasons why Vegas was so successful. They had no rookies on their team. They've all either played in the minors a year or two or been in the NHL long enough to understand what's expected of them, how they need to play. There was really no teaching involved there. It was go out, work hard, compete. You look at the way they played, there was no secret how they played. They rolled four lines and played at such a high tempo that teams just couldn't keep up.
With Hall of Famer Chris Pronger, again, free agency opening up.
We don't have to say that every time.
Well, I think he likes it.
Like, Jesus
Christ. You like that, don't you, Prongs?
Who's Come available on. Out there?
We can just say Chris Pronger.
All right, some guy named Chris Pronger. Well, it kind of ruins my whole preamble for the next question, because I was going to say...
Every time, you're like, Hall of... I'm like, come on.
All right, well, you get in the Hall of Fame, and I'll call you a Hall of Fame.
There's no chance. I got no chance.
Exactly.
Carry on.
All right, well, I was going to ask you about being a free agent and being a sought-after free agent. When you roll into the summer... Like Tavares is about to approach that, John Carlson, other guys like that. As a player, was that nervous? Were you nervous? Was it exciting? I mean, what was that process like being a week and a half out, knowing a bunch of teams were going to offer you a lot of money and a lot of term, and you had to pick someone at some point?
I'm going to tell you right now, I never, ever got the opportunity to be an unrestricted free agent.
Really?
So I don't know how these guys are feeling. I can imagine. Knowing kind of where they're coming from, obviously John Carlson just coming off winning a Stanley Cup and spending 8 years in Washington. John Tavares, same thing in the island, not winning. But I think the guy that might want to move the most would be Tavares, just based on he can now kind of, I don't necessarily think it's going to be about the money because he's going to get the same similar offers from around the horn, so to speak, and really, I think he needs to try to find the right fit for him if it's not New York. And Carlson, I think he's probably thinking, wow, we just won. I'd love to be able to stay. I think you've come this far. I think you got to listen to offers to understand kind of how Stamkos did. Listen to offers, see where the league is at, see where teams are at, look at the fit. I think for most of these guys, it's really got to be about what fits for them, what fits for their family, lifestyle, living, if they have kids, if they don't have kids, if they're married, all that kind of stuff. It gets a little bit more difficult when you start bringing wives and kids and schools and all that kind of stuff into it. But a lot of these guys are young enough that I don't think it really matters. So I think at this stage, they've come this far. They're not signing now. I mean, you might as well just listen to teams and see what's out there.
Yeah, you just mentioned a lot of different factors coming into it. In light of what happened in Philadelphia with Brian Colangelo and the news recently with Mike Hoffman and his fiance and Erik Karlsson, I mean,
Alleged.
Alleged, you're right.
Has that been proven?
No, we're going to have to say, and we'll use the word alleged. But
yes.
Have you guys, internally in Florida, have you maybe have to send out a memo to some of these guys at any level? With burner accounts on Twitter or to be smarter in social media. Like, is that something now, I think, that has to be addressed with every organization moving forward because that's the world we live in?
Well, I think for the most part, I think a lot of these young kids understand they're under the microscope, understand the power of social media. As I'm going to call myself an old fart because as it relates to technology, I am. And all this stuff, thank God none of this stuff was out there when I was playing.
I know.
But I just think a lot of them understand it. If all this stuff is true, oh boy. But it's it'll get addressed, and it does get addressed at the various Players Association meetings and all the rest of that stuff, and our opening training camp. I'm sure there'll be a small blurb on social media and presence and whatnot. I know when I was playing in Philly and Twitter was just coming out and some of these things, I told James Van Riemsdyk to get off Twitter. I told Briz to get off Twitter. I told all the, I'm like, you don't need to pay attention to these people. They don't even know what they're talking about, and they don't even know you. They're just some guys sitting in their basement in their market lounger typing off certain things because they're watching you on TV. And you really have to be careful. You have to kind of sit back and really kind of build a solid base of your family and friends and coaching staff and teammates and your little core group of people that you trust and really appreciate their knowledge of the game and really take to heart kind of what you're presenting to the public. I don't think people realize that it's out there and it's not going away. So you got to really be careful and be sure you really want to put out there what you're going to put out there.
Prongs, we can't continue to throw lob balls at you. We have to ask you at least one difficult question.
Deep.
Watching Marchessault and Riley Smith play this year, I mean, it must have been difficult. You guys, it could have really meant the difference for you, maybe getting in the playoffs or not, having some help up front like that.
Yeah, I think there's obviously a number of different factors for that. I think the year that the team had last year, there was a lot of turmoil amongst the group with all the various things that were going on prior to my arrival and prior to Dale getting back in charge. And, I would imagine if we had a do-over, we'd like to change the decision, but it is what it is. And we can sit here and listen to the media talk bad about us and talk bad about the organization and how could they let them go. But at the end of the day, they're gone. They're not coming back. So we got to figure out what we need, how to move forward and get better as the Florida Panthers organization, as our team moving forward, our players, how we can best support the players we have and improve on the season we have. I mean, we can't dwell on all the – everybody makes mistakes. If you want to go through every GM's moves and pick apart everything they've done, I'm going to tell you right now, as there's 31 GMs currently in the league, every single one of them would love a do-over. Mm-hmm. And you just don't get them. You got to turn the page, let it go, and continue to move forward and build your team and try to get better. We've got a number of great building blocks in our organization and our team, and we're going to continue to do that in Dallas next week at the draft and hopefully get a number of high-end prospects that can help the Florida Panthers get to where we want to be. And obviously that's where Washington is this year in winning a Stanley Cup.
Was that code for I had nothing to do with that decision?
No, I just think it is. No, I didn't. It was pre-me, but, I mean, it is what it is.
We're going to blame it on Caber and his tight pants.
Because yeah, his bald head.
I think at the end of the day, you got to turn the page. Like,
yeah.
I mean, some people just got to get past it. Oh, my God, every time somebody scores a goal, oh, my God, how they let him go. Deal with it. You know what? Nobody talked about Dadonov getting 65 points. I mean, he had the same number of points as Riley Smith, but nobody ever mentioned that. Like, who cares? Yeah. It is what it is. They're not there anymore. Turn the page. Get over it.
That's a Hall of Fame mentality.
Exactly.
Hall of Fame mentality.
Holy, that's how Hall of Famers.
Make me.
That's how Hall of Famers bring
get this
heat.
Guy off the phone.
See you later. Appreciate it, buddy.
And by the way, Noodles, that was a sick picture on Instagram today.
Thank you.
Really nice low earlobes and a nice. Did you use Jim Carrey's salad bowl from Dumb and Dumber, or how did you do that?
I was just talking about how on Instagram I keep things private, and so nobody's ever going to be able to see that other than the five people that follow me.
That's got to go public. It has to.
Maybe I'll put it out on Twitter later now. Because
you should. I think you should because you look really good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Prongs. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Good luck.
There's Take care. Chris Pronger. former player and now Panthers senior advisor.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Down in Florida. I just think it sounds better.
I put it up and deleted it right away because I was like, Steph thought it looked good, but I was like, nah, it's just a picture. You know, it's like Throwback Thursday or whatever. I was going through storage. The last couple of days I've gone up there just to kind of
go through.
Just
memory lane, huh?
Well, my oldest brother kept books, logs of every one of my seasons in the NHL, and he labeled them. So I had them in this Giants box, and I was going through some stuff, and it was like early career stuff, but it had like grade 3 pictures of me. And I took a photo of it.
Super fan, your brother, super fan.
Yeah, my oldest brother. But it was very nice of it.
That's very cool.
But it was. I took a picture of it and sent it to Steph, and because the face that I look like is like our daughter looks like that face now. And I said, hopefully she grows out of it.
All right, but we'll take a look at it.
You guys,
we'll make
you can decide.
Ray's coming up in the next hour. Stephen Caldwell is going to be on the show, day one of the World Cup, and we've got Stephen Caldwell on.
I want to get drunk with that guy once.
He's such a beautician.
He's the best.
He's coming up at 5:30.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.